A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Thanks, Kalani.
Thank you, ESPN.
You know, Mitch.
They love their Cougars.
Mitch Harper.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy as always to have you on board to the podcast, wherever you may be listening. Appreciate you stopping by and checking out the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Mitch_Harper. And also follow KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And also check out my bylines and all of my content on the KSL Sports app presented by University Federal Credit Union and, of course, KSLSports.com. So on today's edition of Cougar Tracks, talking about the bowl outlook for BYU as the Cougars move up to number 12 in the latest college football playoff rankings. What's the latest with the Cougars and the postseason? I'll share my thoughts on what's going to potentially happen for BYU coming up on Selection Sunday. Also, share some of my takeaways from this crazy coaching carousel in college football and maybe where Kalani Sitake fits in all of it. So let's dive on in and start with BYU's bowl outlook. So Sunday coming up is Selection Sunday for all the bowls. And for Cougar fans wondering, like, hey, why is BYU not officially announced their bowl destination? Well, it's because they're still in the mix for a New Year's Six, potentially. Being at number 12 in the rankings, they are in the at-large pool now. They're in that top 12, but most realistically, they need to get to probably 10 to secure an at-large bid. So they got to jump Michigan State somehow. And honestly, it's probably going to come down to, does the committee like BYU more than Michigan State? The two teams don't play this week to get a 13th data point, so in essence, they don't. And rightfully so, Michigan State has one of the best wins in college football this year, taking down Michigan, who's now number two in the polls and looking like a team that could go and play for the national championship this season. So BYU's probably going to be left out of the New Year's Six. I think that that's a grave mistake by the committee, potentially, because I feel like BYU, as I've talked about here on the podcast and on KSL News Radio, BYU fans, if they were selected to go to the Fiesta Bowl, you're bringing 40 or 50,000 fans. Like I that sounds extreme, but I'm telling you, BYU would pack the house at University of Phoenix Stadium. I don't know the dynamics of Michigan State's fan base, but I'm going to guess they wouldn't bring 40,000 fans to the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, I think BYU would still bring 25, 30,000 fans to Atlanta, to the Peach Bowl. I mean, you took 10,000 fans to Statesboro, Georgia. You don't think that BYU would have a bunch of fans fly in on a Delta flight directly to Atlanta to go see BYU in a once-in-a-lifetime game in the Peach Bowl? Yeah, I mean, BYU would have 30,000 at the Peach Bowl. Because I say those games because those are the two games heavily filled with at-large spots. So it's probably unlikely, and I think my good friend Jeff Hansen, Rakutu10, on Twitter made a good point. And I think that it would have been the same deal, I think, for BYU had they been a one-loss team. They'd be in the same spot where they're at 12. I think there would have been a ceiling. I think everyone's naturally assuming, if they would have got that Boise State win, they would have got a bump and automatically got into the New Year's Six and been in the top 10. I disagree because I think that still the powers that be in college football do not want to give a independent BYU team, I know they have the Big 12 label coming up in the future, but they don't want to give an independent BYU that big payday. The powers that be just don't want to do that. They don't want to. They don't have to. There's no guaranteed access to BYU, so why do it? Because there's always a way you can find a loophole that can keep them out. So maybe it's a little bit easier to swallow at 10-2, because if BYU would have been 11-1, I think fans would have just been ticked. With the only loss being to a top 10 Baylor team, there would have been a lot more to gripe about had BYU been sitting at 12 or 11 in this spot than, you know, otherwise where they're at 10-2. And I think this year it's a little bit more willing to appreciate with the two losses, because BYU's never been in a situation by the Alliance or the BCS or the playoff where they have two losses and they're being viewed in high regard. And I think there's a lot of respect being given to BYU, the most amount of respect you can honestly probably give a two-loss BYU team. And for that, that's great. But again, I don't think we're going to see BYU announced on Sunday at the New Year's Six committee selection show. But again, that's why BYU hasn't formally said, hey, we're going to the Independence Bowl, because I think some fans have been wondering about that. I saw on message boards and on social media some questions about that. It's like, no, BYU's still in the at-large pool mix, and that's why they haven't formally announced their bowl destination yet. So they'll announce it on Sunday, and I think the announcement's going to be the Independence Bowl. Now, there's been this movement for the Guaranteed Rate Bowl for Arizona, because that bowl game would give BYU a Power 5 opponent. And keep in mind that the bowl spots are all filled. There's 83 spots for, or 83 teams that are bowl eligible, 82 spots available. So every spot is accounted for. Every spot is accounted for. I mean, just think about it logistically. Okay, BYU is going to go to the Independence Bowl. They're not going to go to the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. I'd be stunned if they go to the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, because a couple things. Tom Homo has always said, because everyone just assumes ESPN's just doing anything and everything for BYU. It's not how it works. And Homo has said as much so many times, if you listen to him. He has said, yeah, they help us out. I mean, again, paraphrasing here. But they have so many other teams and so many other conferences to have to juggle and worry about scheduling and moving all the pieces for these bowl games. ESPN's the main TV provider for a lot of these games. They own some of the games, the ESPN event bowl games, which includes the Independence Bowl. BYU is not the top priority for ESPN to move and shake around the bowl schedule just for BYU, because BYU fans don't know the Independence Bowl. That's not reason enough for them to shake up the bowl schedule. I know there's the clause for the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, but keep in mind that was created in 2020 when BYU was nowhere near a Big 12 membership, nothing of the sort. BYU was viewed as a long-term independent. And see, BYU to the Independence Bowl, BYU is going to be the anchor for the Independence Bowl for 3 years if they were to remain independent. That's now no longer going to be the case. The Independence Bowl has hitched their wagon to BYU. They're not going to let BYU get out for the one time they will actually be able to go to this bowl game, in my opinion. Next year, BYU is a bowl free agent, so BYU will land next year in an ESPN event bowl game unless they get to the New Year's Six. The Independence Bowl wants BYU at least once. They're not going to get them in 2023 now because BYU is going to be in the Big 12. They're not going to get them in 2025 because BYU is going to be in the Big 12. So they're going to give BYU that one chance to play in the Independence Bowl and host them, because BYU is a good brand. It's a lot better than what they've gotten recently. The Independence Bowl has got a little bit of history. I mean, 40-plus years. This is a bowl game that's been around for a long time, but it's kind of been fallen to the back burner a little bit because the SEC backed out of it and things like that. So some of the bowl tie-ins have really regressed for the Independence Bowl. But they're not going to just abandon BYU. Keep in mind, too, Independence Bowl representatives have traveled to three BYU games this year. They went to Waco, Texas, to see BYU take on Baylor. They went to the BYU-Idaho State game in Provo, and then they went to the BYU-USC game in L.A. So they've invested a lot of money to go see BYU. And seeing Tom Homo interact with the Independence Bowl officials What does Tom Homo value the most? Relationships. And whether it's small to BYU fans or not, every relationship matters to BYU. And you're not going to sever a relationship because, well, we want to be in Arizona and play a P5 team. We know that that's not the end-all be-all for BYU. And at the end of the day, each bowl game is a glorified exhibition. It's a glorified exhibition. The Independence Bowl, it's not glamorous. You're going to probably play a Conference USA team. Hope and pray that somehow LSU gets worked into that bowl game. I love that prediction, by the way, by Brett McMurphy. But if you play a Conference USA team, it is what it is. You play on ABC, network television. That's Saturday, December 18th. People are chomping at the bit again for some college football. A little bit, not much, because it's going to be that last Saturday before Christmas. But, hey, it's a pretty good bowl TV spot. We'll get probably about 1 million, 2 million viewers. And there you go. You close out your season on an exhibition. I mean, it's just, I don't know exactly the payout. It's reportedly at $2.2 million. That's what it's been last reported at, which ain't bad. For an independent BYU, that's a good payout. But I think more importantly to BYU, it's about the relationships. And seeing the investment that the Independence Bowl has put into BYU this season, and BYU is contracted to go to that game, and they're not going to be able to fulfill their contract in 2023 and 2025 because they're going to be in the Big 12. So again, I think this movement to see them go to Arizona, it's for what? I don't see the incentive. Like, okay, so you want to see BYU play a Big 12 or Big 10 team. Great. Like, the bowl spots are accounted for. They're filled. I don't think BYU is going to force their way to have the whole bowl schedule reconfigured. They're contracted to go to the Independence Bowl. It's the only time it's going to happen. I think we're going to see them go to the Independence Bowl. Is it fulfilling for a 10-2 season? No. But I'll tell you what, if BYU plays LSU, I think that's a little bit exciting, a little bit more than, say, UTSA or Western Kentucky. Keep in mind with Conference USA, they're kind of unique. So Conference USA plays their championship game this week, UTSA versus Western Kentucky. Two teams beat last season. The winner of Conference USA, the champion, gets to pick which bowl game they want to go to. So it's kind of assumed that UTSA would probably want to play the best team possible, which would be BYU in the Independence Bowl. If they pick that, well, then it's over. Western Kentucky, don't know what they kind of read, or maybe UTSA wants a different bowl game. So again, the Conference USA champ gets to pick which bowl in the Conference USA bowl tie-ins they want to go to. They get the first dibs, and then they go down the line and let each team kind of give input, which honestly I think should be the right way that each conference does it. Honestly, I like how Conference USA does that. And I know that league is completely rated and it's going by the wayside, but I think it's kind of it's a good way to go about things. So if Western Kentucky wins and they don't want to go to the Independence Bowl, maybe it opens up an opportunity for LSU, the hometown Bayou Bengals, about 4 hours south of Shreveport. They work their way into the Independence Bowl. Who knows? I think that would be, we'll see what happens. But ultimately, I think BYU is going to be in the Independence Bowl. I don't think people are factoring enough of the, you know, the relationship factor, the investment that the Independence Bowl has put into BYU, all of those things. And we know that matters a ton to BYU. They don't want to fracture relationships. They don't want to do that. And they know that BYU has been an anchor for the Independence Bowl for the next, you know, throughout the next 5 years. BYU was going to fulfill that. Now they can't because they're going to go to the Big 12. So I think they want to fulfill that one chance where they're an anchor team for this season, and they call it a day. And then in 2022, they're a bowl free agent, and then away they go to the Big 12 Conference where they're playing for bigger and better bowl games and hopefully a 12-team playoff. That's got to be the ultimate goal. And that's what's exciting, too, is that 10-2 this year would probably have had BYU knocking on the door, maybe of the Big 12 Conference title game, maybe not. They're kind of in that range as Oklahoma, but they could have been there in the mix. And, you know, a couple years ahead, and I think that's what maybe the saving grace. I think Riley Nelson mentioned it in the BYU Sports Network postgame show, which I completely agreed with. That's the saving grace this year. If this was a 10-2 season and you knew you're going to the Independence Bowl and it was independence for the foreseeable future, man, the narrative would be, this is an indictment on independence. we need to go back to the Mountain West. We need to go to the AAC. But it's like, you kind of put up with it this year because you know in 2 years you're going to the Big 12 Conference. But that's my take on BYU's bowl outlook heading into Sunday for Selection Sunday. So I'll have more written up on KSLSports.com.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The coaching carousel has been, man, it's so crazy. I mean, this is the type of coaching carousel you dream of as a college football fan, as someone who follows the sport. I mean, these are the moves that you just love. It's amazing. You don't see these type of moves ever in really any coaching profession, but to see it in college football is just shocking. Lincoln Kelly to USC, Brian Kelly to LSU, big time moves. Big time moves. And I bring these up because, well, Kalani Sitake's name was tossed around quite a bit from folks in Salt Lake and a little bit of Bruce Feldman too with that USC job and things like that. This was my argument all the time, and you can go listen to the podcast back in September after USC fired Clay Helton and people were locally were saying USC is going to contact Kalani. I said it on that podcast in September 2 months ago. I said Kalani would be a great fit at USC, but he would not win over that fan base, and he would instantly be on the hot seat. They had to go big game hunting. They had to go get a guy with national championship DNA. Is a guy that maybe hasn't won a national title yet, but man, he's got you on the doorstep of the playoff every single year, and in a 12-team playoff era, potentially, in the Pac-12, he's going to run that league. Like, USC, it's over for the Pac-12. They're the only program out west, this includes BYU, USC is the only program out west that has the bandwidth, that has the foundation, the potential to be a West Coast version of Alabama. They're the only ones. Not Oregon, not Washington, not BYU, not Utah. USC's it. And now you've got a competent coach. I mean, that was the thing, too, is that they didn't have competent coaches. You know, they got coaches before they were at their best. You know, they got Kiffin before he was learned under Nick Saban. Sarkisian's not a good head coach. I mean, how he has the Texas job is beyond me. USC's finally got a competent coach and is going to clean up shop in the recruiting trail, and all the best skilled players are going to go to USC. They're going to run the Pac-12 again. I mean, in short order. Maybe not next year. Maybe they go 9-3 next year, but they're going to be an 11-1 team dominating the Pac-12 conference. No one's going to recruit like USC other than maybe Oregon, but who knows? Maybe now Mario Cristobal looks at this and goes, if they fire Manny Diaz at Miami, maybe I go back to my hometown of Miami and try to bring the U back. I mean, I think if Oregon loses Mario Cristobal, you've had how many coaching changes and how long? I mean, there's still a ceiling to Oregon because of their recruiting. USC, they now have a jolt of life. But again, with Kalani, though, because again, so many people in this market were saying, Kalani to USC, Kalani to USC. And I was just like, no, it's not happening. Like, again, I always preface it by saying he'd be a great fit at USC because he would do a great job in the recruiting trail, but it would be a 3 to 4 year build. Kalani is a coaching candidate. Incredible fit at BYU. Incredible. The perfect fit at BYU. Perfect fit. But doesn't have a national championship background. I mean, there were some people even tossing around, and I don't even know who they were. They weren't even legitimate sources or anything. They were tossing around Kalani talking to LSU. It's like, come on. Come on. Like, stop. Stop that right now. And it's not a knock on Kalani. It's like, those programs operate on a different wavelength. They're making $10 million a year decisions, $100 million decisions. They have to get a big home run hire. Like, Lincoln Riley shows up at an airport in USC and no one's there. No one's there. LA is not wowed by a Lincoln Riley. They're a little bit wowed because they got him from Oklahoma, but still it's like, well, you know, like going to go back to doing my thing and being, making you know, living in California in the bright lights of Hollywood and whatnot. But Kalani is a perfect fit at BYU. You know, it was another interesting thing, too, revelation in this coaching carousel. So much talk, too, about Washington. And Bruce Feldman was the one that was kind of pushing that narrative quite a bit with Kalani. Maybe Kalani's agent is working the phones with Bruce Feldman a little bit. But Washington and Kalani. You know, and the thought was, well, Washington's a better job than BYU because they're in the Pac-12. Washington hired the Fresno State head coach, Kalen DeBoer. Now, I think he's going to be a good fit there, especially if he can get like a Dante Williams as a defensive coordinator from USC to go over to Washington. I think that could be a good fit. Kalen DeBoer goes from Fresno to Washington. What? Washington hired the Fresno State head coach. BYU in the Big 12 Conference is a better job than Washington. Again, the only job that's better than BYU out west, in my opinion, is USC. That's it. That's it. Maybe Oregon because of just the windfall of money, but I don't think Kalani is driven necessarily by a big fat payday. I think, again, Kalani is driven by his assistants taken care of, his players taken care of, as you heard from Chaz Alyu on a previous podcast. He wants the support staff. And I think BYU is going to bring those resources more. They just got to step it up a little quicker than usual. Things sometimes take a little bit longer at BYU than you'd like, but they got to ramp that up. I think it will be interesting, though, if Utah, Kyle Whittingham, if he potentially retires, you know, because there's some buzz about that, and he even addressed the speculation about potential retirement, said he's not even thinking about that. I mean, who knows? But he's getting up there in age, and Whittingham is, in the past, not mince words, he's going to coach past 65. I think he's, have to double-check his age, but he's getting up there in age, and I think Utah would make a play at Kalani, but the thing is with Utah is that do they want the PR hit if Kalani, you know, turned them down potentially? I mean, that's something they have to juggle. If that came public knowledge and he turned them down, that would be a huge hit to Utah's ego. So, but I think BYU is a better job because you're in the Power Conference now. You have a rabid fan base that's going to lift you up. And support you to the end of the earth. I mean, they were supporting BYU sports in the doldrums of independence, in the doldrums of the West Coast Conference, in the Mountain West, in the WAC. Like, BYU fans have always showed up, and now they're a power team that they're supporting. That's exciting stuff. I think BYU is going to have more money than ever before. Still not to the levels of SEC money to Big Ten money, but to BYU, it's going to feel like that. And that's a big deal for BYU. So I think that BYU should never sit on their hands and just think, oh, he's going to stay for the long haul, because I don't ever believe that. I think you always got to be making sure that he is taken care of because he is the perfect leader for BYU football, and you got to give him what he needs. And if he tells you, hey, I need a new football complex, I need some more support staff, I need some more full-time people on the recruiting staff, I need some more nutritionists, I need some more, you know, just people that can make our team better, if you're Kalani Sitake, BYU's got to provide that, because I think he's earned that with his success both on the field and off the field. I think that's even bigger than on the field in some capacity. He's earned the right now to kind of call some shots, I think, a little bit at BYU. I think he does, and I think that he's got great job security at BYU now. I think he's earned that. So I think the resources will eventually come. I think that he's still, like, it's not like he's making peanuts. Now, he's not making, I think, the average salary of a Big 12 coach. I don't know for sure. I don't know his salary. It'd be fascinating to get a leak of his contract and pour over that and see what that really entails. But I think the money will come up soon, and I think it'll improve, and I think it'll get better, and I think there'll be more resources injected into BYU football. I do believe that. And I think that with more resources, I think BYU's in a good spot. And I think what's exciting, too, for Kalani at BYU is that he's going to go into a Big 12 conference where BYU has the chance to be one of the leading programs. They're not, I mean, I don't think they're going to be the top dog by any means, but who is the top dog? Is it Baylor? Is it Oklahoma State? Is it Texas Tech? You don't really know. So BYU could come in and yeah, if they have success early on, they can really establish themselves as a leader. Whereas if Utah came calling after Whip, you got to go up against Lincoln Riley. You got to go up against USC, who's now revived. Like, they're going to get Relique Brown at USC, the five-star running back who once was offered by BYU as an eighth grader. They're going to get that guy now. Like, that's what you're going to go up against. I think the Big 12 path to a 12-team playoff is a little bit easier than trying to go toe-to-toe with USC every single year. So that's my thought, too. Because I think also BYU's job is easier than people give it credit for. I think there's this narrative that, oh, man, it's tough. It's tough at BYU. I think it's tough sometimes to maybe get things moved quicker for those resources and, you know, maybe facilities and support staff and things like that. It's that's probably the tough side. But I think the BYU job is easier than some because you have some dynamics that other schools just don't have. Like on recruiting, you have an instant filter. You are not pressured to go pursue a 5- and 4-star kid that has a checkered background and maybe off the field is going to cause a lot of headaches. You don't have to go after that guy because you have an honor code that says that's the filter. You don't need to worry about that. Whereas some schools, you got to take that risk because, well, recruiting rankings matter and you got to put out the narrative that you've got talent and you got to get that 5-star. You got to go get that kid, even though you don't like maybe his off the field persona and the way he carries himself on social media. You got to take that risk because he's a 5-star. BYU don't have to worry about that. Kalani don't have to worry about that. Kalani also gets tons of guys that dream of playing at BYU. And that's a rare thing for a program that is not anywhere near a blue blood, that is, you know, kind of middle of the road P5. Like that's a rare thing. Like I can only imagine there's not many that grow up dreaming of playing at Oklahoma State. Maybe I'm wrong, and we'll get more familiar with the Pokes, I'm sure, in the future. But that's an advantage for BYU. I mean, we've seen in the Pac-12, how many kids are dreaming of going to Cal? Like maybe for the education, but for the football product? The kids care about what's happening now. Care about what's happening now, and BYU now is a good product both on and off the field. And, oh, you're going to get some money, too, playing at BYU because of NIL. Might not be much, but it's going to be enough when you're a college student making, you know, don't got much money in your pocket. You'll have some now. You'll have, you know, maybe 4 figures in that bank account, maybe 5 if you're lucky. I mean, I think that that's a nice dynamic that makes BYU's job a little bit easier than I think people give it credit because I think, again, there's this narrative that like, oh, Washington's Pac-12, got to go take that job. It's easier. I disagree. I think you're not following BYU football close enough to understand the dynamics of really this job is pretty good for Kalani. It's just got to get a little more pay, a little more resources, step it up, get kind of on par with your Big 12 peers. Hopefully one day BYU gets above par and, you know, has maybe they become the leader in the space in the Big 12, but that'll take time. But I think Kalani's got job security. I think he can call the shots a little bit more. People just got to act a little bit quicker at BYU to get things done in a quicker fashion. And I think that makes BYU a lot more attractive destination than I think people give it credit for. I think also it's helped that BYU, you know, Kalani Sitake, Arizona State, going to stay fulfilled with Herm Edwards. I think the big domino now on the West Coast is going to be Utah. See what happens there with the Utes that could potentially bring up Kalani Sitake's name again. So we'll see what ends up happening. It's going to be fun to see, but the coaching carousel has been fascinating this year in college football. I mean, to think that Oklahoma and Notre Dame are left open, it's remarkable. And basically the coaches said, yeah, in my setup, I can't win a national title at these places. It's just kind of crazy because I think we've always been told that at Notre Dame, Oklahoma, they're one of the best jobs. And I think they are. Like Oklahoma to me is a top 5 job in college football. And I think but I just think them in the SEC, though, they could become more Texas A&M and not be as much Alabama as they think. Like it's possible they could go 8-4 in some seasons. And at Oklahoma, you're going to get probably fired for that. Like, they're mad at a 10-2 season. They're mad they lost this past weekend to Bedlam. I mean, imagine that too. If Oklahoma wins Bedlam this past Saturday, Lincoln Riley's coaching in the Big 12 championship game. Is USC able to hire Lincoln Riley this week? If he's in the Big 12 title, it's kind of crazy. Would it have been Matt Campbell? Would it have been maybe Brian Kelly? I don't know. It's kind of crazy how that all worked with everything with Lincoln Riley. Just that to me was shocking to see Lincoln Kelly. Brian Kelly was not as much of a shock. A little bit surprising to see him at LSU, but both those coaches are going to be really good. Like LSU, it was shocking to see too. LSU fans are like, he's not a fit. How's he going to handle the gumbo? Like, you had the cultural fit guy in Ed Orgeron. How'd that work? The guy was a mess the last 2 years. Like, yeah, he got you a title because you're LSU. Like, Brian Kelly's one of the best, I think, 5-6 best coaches in college football. That guy with the talent that LSU inherently gets, man, they're going to go toe-to-toe with Bama now. That's a dang good hire by LSU. So, anyway. That I love the coaching carousel. It's almost more exciting than the actual games in college football. But we'll have you covered throughout the weekend on KSLSports.com with any news with BYU's bowl situation and obviously the latest on the coaching carousel as well. So I'll catch you next time here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. BYU basketball coming up tonight against UVU. Should be a good game in Orem. We'll have you covered from the UCCU Center in Orem for Mark Pope's return. I think BYU gets it done. I think they win by about 16, 17 points. Cougars get it done to move to 7-0. That's my prediction for the game. So we'll have you covered on KSLSports.com. I'll catch you next time here on the Cougar Tracks podcast.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.